Hello, and welcome to the Parental Advisory Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Hall and
Patrick Terry. We're two dads with a love for movies.
Join us as we discuss movies we have seen with our kids,
as well as movies we have seen without them.
Good morning, Patrick. How's it going?
Good, Jeff. How are you doing?
I am doing better today. Sun's out, so that's nice. I'll take it. The wind's a win. I've even got the drapes open while we record. I'm getting that natural light glow instead of a ring light today. So
there you go.
Yeah, look at that. It's amazing for an audio medium.
True.
Just know your boy is glowing. My pale skin is radiating.
Here I've got pretty much the ring light. I've even turned the light off in my room today because I usually have the light on and the ring light, but I figured I only need one since I've got the background.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so facts. Right on.
Yeah.
My friend, so yesterday was Grayson's gymnastics competition in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
For those unfamiliar with the Nashville, middle Tennessee to southern Tennessee, Chattanooga is about an hour and a half drive from Nashville. Mm-hmm. It is not a bad drive, except for about three hills that go straight down. It's like a roller coaster incline.
Yeah.
And in the past, I'd been terrified because of the minivan. I didn't have faith in the brakes or the tires. And half the time, a couple times we've been down there, it's rained. So just emphasizes that terror even more. Yeah. This time with the Outback, everything's, we'll say, fairly new. So my confidence level was a lot better. But yet, I still started to white knuckle. But it wasn't. But then I remembered where I was at. I'm like, all right, I got this. This is fine. This is not that big. I still hate it. I still desperately hate this incline.
Yeah.
And they're just terrible. It's like they still say 55 miles an hour. I'm like, you need to be like 25, 30 miles an hour.
Right.
But the best thing though is this time around, I didn't have any semis trying to follow behind me going down this incline. So it didn't, that final destination terror wasn't sinking in. So
that's a plus.
Yes. So I'll take a win where I could get one. However, we were under a dense fog advisory for the majority of the trip. For most of it, we didn't have anything until we got to this. And it was dense fog. So I couldn't even see where I was going more than a car length in front of me. So, but I was doing my best. So it was all right. We survived. It was good. So normally road trips, I very prepared, ready to go, got X, Y, and Z. We're ready to go. We always have a time we say we want to leave by. And then of course, 30 to 45 minutes later, we leave.
Yeah.
So expectations are low for me. Intuitively add that time in. It's like I already factored in, whereas everybody else in the house thinks we're still leaving at that time.
Better.
If it were just me, yes. Anybody, rest of y'all, no. At that time. So yeah, it kind of worked like that. So we were running away. I called my mom because it was her birthday, and talking to her, wishing her happy birthday. And then Ruth next to me starts oh no. And mind you, flat level road. I had hardly any cars around. So I'm I'm just figuring she's just reading something bad on the interwebs.
Yeah.
And I mean, she wasn't completely wrong. I wasn't completely wrong. She was. So apparently, the event we were going to in Chattanooga was gymnastics competition at the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
There also happens to be a dance competition going on at the same time at the convention center, plus a marathon going on downtown Chattanooga.
Oh, wow.
Which all the road closures were around the convention center. I said, did they just plan everything on one weekend and then just call it a day for the rest of the year?
Like the people have figured out. they'll get it around. It's all right. That's crazy.
So nobody could give us tips on what to do because because they'd already been there like for the weekend. So they're like staying in a hotel and just walking over and stuff.
Yeah, so no courtesy email, say, hey, just so you know, coming like, down, this is what's happening. No,
they literally just, well, like the gymnastics competition found out this morning. And found out that morning themselves. Okay. And then posted it.
Okay.
Posted the map of the road closures and everything as soon as they found out.
Okay, well, that's okay. I get okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, not great communication from the city to the event people, you know, putting on the events.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I said, well, she's like, what are we gonna do? I said, figure it out. Just we'll ask somebody whenever we get to like one of the road closures, because of course they're gonna always have somebody like a either somebody to work in the event or you know work in the marathon or something that can either tell us or radio somebody to tell us what to do. And we got there early. You know, we were going to get there early enough just in case, you know, something happens. Something like this where we may have to take a detour or something. And so then we stopped at a gas station in which Ruth went to go use the bathroom and apparently found the absolute smallest stall. And known to, you know, and it looked like a fairly nice gas station, but apparently the bathrooms were like less than desirable. There was liquid on the ground. She was hoping it was water, but not sure. I said, girl, you should have just turned on out. We would have gone across the street to McDonald's and called it a day.
Yeah.
But anyways, she got like her shoes and some of her clothes wet, but she's like, I hope it's water. I hope so.
There's not a snow.
There's one. Yeah. And then we went over across the street and got some food, and then we got all the way to the event. We got lucky when we exited, like convention center is like right off the exit.
Yeah.
And thankfully, yep, the marathon was going, but it was hanging a left, like a corner of the convention center. It was going to the left instead of to the right. So we were still able to turn. And I was able to drop them off literally right at the convention center doors.
That's good.
And then we went to go, and then they went to go grab her bag with her leotard in it. Looked for it in the back seat, looked for it in the trunk. And then I hear, Jeff, you remembered it. You grabbed the Leo, didn't you? I said, well, I go, no, y'all were messing with it. I thought y'all grabbed it on the way out.
Wow.
So meanwhile, Grayson's Leo sitting here on the couch at home while we're an hour and a half away.
Damn.
I said, I'm going to go park the car. And so I parked the car across the street even, so I actually even found parking. Yeah. Fairly close. So yeah, it was one thing after another. She ended up having to borrow one of her friends who wasn't competing yesterday. She'd already competed.
Mm-hmm.
So she borrowed her Leo, which was, you know, a little big. But yeah, so she competed. They got all the way to the beam routine. And the girl that went before her, that's on her team, that's smaller than her, I think must have forgotten part of her routine, because she got up there, she was up there 5-10 seconds, and then she was done. And those routines are at least 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
But like, she was done. And then Grayson went next. Grayson, and trust me, if my kid screws up, I'll be the first one. Like, she fell, like she did her vault, she took it when she landed, she took a step and then apparently fell. So okay, she gets a low score. That makes sense. That checks out. I got you. I'm not one of those parents that's gonna like my kid's the best at everything unless they actually do really good. But if they do bad, you know, it's okay. Not a big deal. I don't get mad about it. I'm not gonna try and make it sound like she did better than what she did. But with that being said, she did really good in her routine, and I filmed it, we watched it again, and we don't see where she screwed up.
Yeah.
The girl that went before her, they gave a 9.6 and they gave Grayson a 9.0. So what we think is they got the score switched.
Right, because the other one didn't complete her routine.
Yeah.
And Grayson did.
So yeah. And the coach, we thought the coach went up and said something, but we don't know, and Grayson couldn't really hear. She just thought that's probably what happened. But in the end, nope. That's the score that stuck. But she wasn't like upset. I think Ruth and I are more upset about it. Well, Ruth is definitely more upset about it than I am or Grayson is.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's not right, but It is. I mean, shit like that happens, though. I mean, it's, again, not the worst thing in the world. It's not going to like ruin her career. It's just, but it still sucks that it happened.
Yeah, this is not her villain origin story.
Exactly. No, this is her. This is just going to add. So another thing, since we hadn't had, you know, a regular episode in a while, because Grayson's at gymnastics 11 hours a week, I think it's wearing on her.
Yeah.
She's wanting to take a break from gymnastics, which, you know, we are fully supportive because we know it's hard, especially in third grade, trying to get her. They're piling on more homework this semester than they have in the previous semester. So she's got more stuff to do and less time to do it, or it's still the same minimal amount of time to do it.
Right.
So basically she did this competition. There's one more at the end of the month. She'll compete in that one. And then she's taking a break. So she still wants to do like a tumbling class that they offer on like Mondays, like an open tumbling class. So, but she wants to go back to dance. So that's only one day a week for like an hour and a half. And she's doing soccer. She got signed up for soccer. So again, that's still like what, seven, eight Saturdays. And that's it. And then, you know, practice whenever that is. Right. But she's also going to take a break from Krav Maga. So she's not going to test this time around. But York's still sticking with his. It's just his second day that he normally goes is going to change. That's all. But even still, if that we weren't able to get that to work, we can revert back to the other schedule. I'll just be very busy in the car on a Thursday. So, but nonetheless, we can make it work. So she's going down from a lot of active, you know, from a lot, you know, from one active, well, technically two, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
That is every day during the week, pretty much, to, you know, one activity that's just an hour and a half a week, and another one that whenever the practice is, and then it's only going to be for a couple of months, and then that's done. And then reassess over the summer.
That's good.
But it'll give her more time to get schoolwork done and everything else. So she still likes gymnastics, but I think she misses dance. Some, and then she's been wanting to do soccer for a couple of years. We just haven't been able to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yep. So we got a little changes going on here, but it's all for the best, I think. But yeah, it's all good. So yeah. Other than that, we're good here. Mom's being really treated well for her birthday. She had one couple that she's been friends with for a while that took her out for steak, wine, and dessert. Oh my good Lord.
Nice.
That's all right. They're really showing me up, aren't they?
Steak for me would be fine. Like steak. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah. And then she went to one of her other good friends. Her granddaughter got her, you know, wanted her to, said that she needed to have a birthday party. Everybody should have a birthday party.
Yeah.
So they went over there and, you know, over to her house, you know, over there, and they threw her like a little small birthday party. And gave her a bag of carrots so she could feed the horses. So
that's cool.
So yeah, I thought that was super sweet. And then her group of friends, also known as the Rowdies, it's legit their name. They're all going out sometime this week. I forgot. So I'm very happy that she has that. I'm very happy that they're doing that for her, because this is the first year in a long time she's been able to do that. Which, you know, makes me happy. I know it's going to make her feel good. Other than that, we are just getting ready for our trip to California this week. York's still wanting to try and go to get close near the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I've looked up the road closures and sidewalk closures. And it is, yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
I said, my dude, I said, I highlighted everything on the map. And like where it lists everything as well. I said, my dude, I don't know. We're going to be like, I think four blocks away will be the closest we'll be able to get, if anything. So right. I don't know if that's going to be, if you'd still think that's worth it, but I'll go check the YouTubes and the TikToks and see if mm-hmm. there's any hacks that anybody's posted.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to have to write a heist movie in which you knock a chauffeur driver out and you you take his hat and then hop in and put him there. You go.
Yeah,
that's how you get there. Or some, or grab your Mentos. Grab your Mentos.
That always seems to be the answer.
See if we can get a Mentos commercial out of this. Otherwise, we're probably going to need to find other plans.
Yeah.
And just plan for it another time. I, for 15 years or so, have had in my brain that I will be there for the 100th Oscars. Because you can apply to be in the stands. Like, yeah, you know, outside the red carpet and everything. There's a waiting list and everything. But you could put in for it. And it, you know, may get it, may not. I'm going to do my damnedest in 4 years from now. So we're already planning 4 years from now. And I told Ruth, I said, I will be there. I don't know if you all will, if y'all are coming or not, but I will be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, in 4 years, shoot, York will be 17. You know, he'll be on. God, that's crazy to think.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're laughing about. Your girl being halfway through college.
Exactly. If she
to go.
She's already there. So.
Yeah. Exactly. So. You know, Grayson will be, God, 13, almost 14. She turns 10 this year. So wild. So wild. My old ass will be almost fishing 50.
A couple years shy.
Yep. So, anyways, but it's good to plan ahead. You know, that's always been my goal, to be up there for the 100th. So, because they're going to do it up for that.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge, a spectacle.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll start at noon.
Be literally all day.
Here's the in memoriam. The in memoriam is literally the last 100 years.
Dang.
It gets its own day. It just gets its own day.
It would probably take a whole day for that. It would need it. Yeah.
Yep. Or it's just going to be really fast, just names flying up like Star Wars credits.
So the replay, you can pause it as need.
Right. Yep. Bless. But no, it's so that's my hope. And, you know, really, you know, since we plan ahead, you know, since it's 4 years away, it should be easy to plan ahead for that. So,
yeah, true.
That's been our weekend. That's been our really past 2 weeks, to be honest. A lot of changes going on.
Yeah.
But all for the good.
Yeah. I mean, things are good here. This coming up weekend, Saturday, the plan is for family go to Georgia for the Georgia Aquarium. So my niece can, you know, explore and see the fish. Like, the original plan was try to go to Disney World this summer, but that's probably going to require more planning. So it might be a next year thing. But my mom's really want to have a trip. So, you know, my niece can experience something different outside of Nashville. Still in Tennessee. Yeah. Well, not, we'll be in Georgia, but just something different. And so hopefully we are able to do that. And then this week, Thursday, Kyla's got a culinary arts competition with the school. So the school is traveling somewhere here in Nashville, and then they'll be going back Friday. So I'll get the scoop on how that is.
Because it's culinary. Yeah.
And then she's supposed to be here Saturday, so we can all go. Because it's going to be just a day trip, leave out early. And hopefully have a good...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pretty sure we have to travel the same way you went, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
I don't know. Last time I went through Atlanta was senior trip, and we went to Florida, Orlando. We went through Atlanta. So I don't know. I think we made a stop at a Huddle House. But that was it.
Huddle House.
Yeah, but we didn't really do anything beyond that. It was just a stop and then continued on to Florida. And then that was it. So I've never actually been to Atlanta as far as walking around. And
neither have I.
Yeah. So there's also a restaurant. My mom and sister watches Atlanta Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a restaurant. One of them is open. I think Candy Burris has. So my sister's going to go there and eat. So that'll be part of it, too.
Okay.
So we'll see if all that works out. Because it is Atlanta. Kind of crazy there.
Yep. And stumble upon film set while you're at it. So
right.
Hollywood to the South.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe really.
Walking
Dead. Yep. There you go. Yep. Oh my God.
That's comeback.
Yep. So one thing I forgot to tell you, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Oh, hi, Charlotte. Apparently Charlotte's under the table and I just kicked her. Sorry. So when Ruth was looking at all the events, she thought there was a third event going on at this convention center in Chattanooga mm-hmm. called NugaCon. NugaCon. Probably two words.
Yeah.
So it's a comic book convention, but since it's in Chattanooga, instead of calling it ChatCon, because, you know, Chat's more the nickname.
Yeah.
Nuga, but it was called NugaCon. And what picture is on the cover of this website for this event? A gentleman dressed as Nick Fury.
Okay.
Yep. And then right underneath it is that same gentleman with a guy dressed as Captain America. That's because, you know, they're like we're at NugaCon. That's I just, someone has to be like, what did he just say?
Right. Right.
I can say that. You can't say that.
Oh, man.
I tell Ruth, I go, there's 100% chance someone ran around and said my Nuga. And I'm like, no, that's how someone gets hurt. That's how someone's going to get hurt.
Somebody, I hear it wrong. Like, what?
Yep. The hell you just say? It's like, would you just called it ChatCon like I thought?
Right.
It's just like, oh, my God, this is terrible. And the freaking gymnastics competition was cash only. That's like, really? Cash only? What decade is this?
Wow.
Really? I was like, y'all trying to get robbed? Shit.
I mean, I could understand, like, maybe systems are down, so they have to. But if that was just the original choice. Yeah.
That's wow. Their choice, because the two concession places took cards and Venmo and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, even the place where I parked had a QR code for me to scan to pay.
Yeah.
This gymnastics, we're just going to do all cash.
Keeping it old school.
So I had to walk all the way the hell down to pass the dance competition to get to the ATM. I was like, son of a bitch. So
what else? What else? What else?
I text Ruth. I go, NugaCon probably takes Venmo. But NugaCon wasn't cash only.
They're with the times.
Yep, exactly. God bless. All right, let's get into some movies. Or at least mediums that identify themselves as movies. There we go.
Yeah, I wonder what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're getting there. So for trailers this week, we have a movie called Musica, which is PG-13, 1 hour, 31 minutes. A coming-of-age love story that follows an aspiring creator with synesthesia. There we go. Who must come to terms with an uncertain future while navigating the pressures of love, family, and his Brazilian culture in Newark, New Jersey. Coming to Amazon Prime April 4th, directed and starring Rudy Mancuso. J.P. Smooth is also in it. And Camila Mendez. Looks cute. I saw singing, dancing, and also puppets. So it looks wild.
Yeah, musical. It's all you, man.
Sorry. I thought the puppets would have had you, though.
I don't know. I'll watch the trailer and decide.
I'm easy, but I'm not that easy. I'm easy. Let's see here. Next, we have from the Shyamalan family, The Watchers. A young artist gets stranded in an extensive, immaculate forest in Western Ireland, where, after finding shelter, she becomes trapped alongside three strangers, stalked by mysterious creatures each night. This is based on the novel by A.M. Shine, directed by Ishana Shyamalan, and produced by M. Night Shyamalan. So I'm not sure the relation, but I'm assuming. Because she was also the second unit director for Old. And she was producer and co-producer on Servant, which M. Night produced for Apple TV. So it looks, I mean, like any other M. Night teaser trailer, looks good. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I may check it out too.
Next, we have another trailer for The Bike Riders, rated R, 1 hour, 56 minutes. The Watchers comes out June 14th. Forgot to mention that. The Bike Riders follows the rise of a Midwestern motorcycle club as it evolves over the course of a decade from a gathering place for local outsiders into a more sinister gang, threatening the original group's way of life. Expected to be released June 21st, starring Austin Butler, Jodie Comer, Tom Hardy, Michael Shannon, Michael Faced, Boyd Holbrook. So you know he's probably a villain. Just saying, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, what's his name? Paolo Asper or something like that. If he's in it, you know he'll be the villain.
Certain actors that just know.
Yeah, you just know.
Yeah.
And Norman Reedus and Paul Sparks. Like, it's got a good cast. It is written and directed by Jeff Nichols. And then next we have the latest from A24. We have, I ended up watching the trailer for this. It looks interesting. I saw the TV Glow is the title, although it should probably be called something else. Two teenagers bond over their love of a supernatural TV show, but is mysteriously canceled. Which, that doesn't sound like a great synopsis. However, if you watch the trailer, it'll hook you. It's very A24. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I saw the poster.
Yeah, it stars Justin Smith, Bridget Lundy Payne, Ian Foreman, Helen Howard, Lindsay Jordan. And Danielle Deadweiler. Fred Durst? Oh, wow. This fool's going to go break stuff.
Or somebody's Nick.
Yep, that too. Oh, Amber Benson from Buffy. Written and directed by Jane Schoenbrunn. It's coming soon. There is no release date yet. PG-13, 1 hour, 40 minutes. And then lastly, we have, it's been out, but we haven't had a new episode to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The release of the trailer release, at least, for Borderlands, based on the video game. Set to come out August 9th of this year. The popular video game set on the abandoned fictional planet of Pandora, where people search for a mysterious relic. Starring Ariana Greenblatt, Gina Gershon, Kate Blanchett, Haley Bennett, Bobby Lee, Florian Moutinho, Jamie Lee Curtis, Jack Black, like Kevin Hart, Edgar Ramirez. Like, it's Cheyenne Jackson. It's got a good cast. So trailer makes it look interesting. Let me guess, cautiously optimistic as always.
I was cool with it until I saw Kevin Hart. Because I've played the Borderlands games, but I think he's supposed to be playing a character that's kind of serious.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'll
Kevin Hart it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that just kind of, everything else looked good, but when I saw him, I was like, I don't know. That's making me a little, gotta go in with a little caution.
You know what I absolutely love? Jamie Lee Curtis is in this.
Yeah, I mean,
no, because let me tell you what. I have a feeling Jamie Lee Curtis is realizing that she's older, and she's going to just have fun.
Yeah.
Like, Everything Everywhere, that's her having fun, and is kind of away from the stuff she usually plays. This is just her having fun.
Yeah.
Bringing something to it. Like, she's, yeah.
I mean, I'm interested in it. It's just,
yeah.
Just Kevin Hart factor.
Mm-hmm. Written and directed by Eli Roth. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what we have as trailers, man. It's quite a few, I mean, considering. All right, let's get into our feature. We have, yeah. So, we both went to theater to go see this.
Yeah.
I actually made it to the theater finally. And I couldn't get anybody to go with me. Which is fine. We went and saw Madame Web, rated PG-13 with a runtime 1 hour 56 minutes long. Cassandra Webb is a New York metropolis. What? a New York paramedic who begins to demonstrate signs of clairvoyance. Forced to challenge revelations about her past, she needs to safeguard three young women from a deadly adversary who wants them destroyed. We have Dakota Johnson as Cassandra Webb, or Cassie Webb. Sydney Sweeney as Julia Cornwall. Isabella Merced as Anya Corazon. Celeste O'Connor as Maddie Franklin. Tahar Rahim as Ezekiel Sims. Mike Epps as O'Neill. Emma Roberts as Mary Parker. Adam Scott as Ben Parker. And Carrie Bishi as Constance Webb. So, yeah. Here we go. So, I saw this in 2D. Did you go see this on IMAX or 4DX? No?
I think I may have watched it in IMAX. Yeah, IMAX.
Okay.
I did. I mean, it just, I think time-wise, when I went, that was available. So, yeah, I did see it in IMAX. I was looking to confirm what my ticket was. So, yeah, it was IMAX.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not hating. I'm just...
Yeah.
I didn't attack. I was just asking.
I just couldn't remember if I paid the extra or just did the normal.
So I saw it in 2D just because, again, time worked out best. I would have been okay if I would have gotten a Theater 11 with the RPX. I've been okay with that.
That's what I was looking for, but...
I like that little surprise.
I think time-wise, I wasn't able to... Cause I think it was... When I went, they had it available, just I couldn't make the time. I think that's how that worked out.
I forgot what movie was in its place by the time I went and saw it, but
yeah.
But yeah. So movie opens up, we see Constance Webb pregnant and Ezekiel Sims behind her, and they're trying to find this one spider that Constance has learned has like some sort of weird healing factor, or it can be used to heal.
Yeah.
May exhibit, you know, but depending on the person, may exhibit different powers, I guess, or different, accelerate different attributes. Is that a better way to word it? Like, it's depending on the person, you know, depending on the person, it brings out whatever.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody's going to have the same experience. There we go.
Yeah. That's a good,
like,
some,
you know, like an LSD trip. It's not everybody's going to have the same experience.
Right. Oh, man.
But yeah. So they're trying to find it, and it's never really explained as to why, or even what she does. Like, we think she's a scientist, but she could also be just a photojournalist because she has a camera and all this other stuff.
True. It's not never much was given. Really. Not much, really. It's like, looking for the spider.
Yeah.
And she wanting to help the world with it.
Yeah.
Ezekiel, on the other hand, makes mention of it giving you powers.
Yeah.
So, and he's there for her protection.
Yes. Right. Because there are spider people that live atop the trees or something like that.
Yeah.
Some mythical thing.
And she doesn't believe it.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, she doesn't deal with myth.
Yeah.
Just facts. I think that's what she said. Yeah.
Yeah. So she ends up finding one, brings it back to the camp. Ezekiel Sims, like, basically, I got to have it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she won't give it away or anything like that. She's like, no, you know, and he pulls out a gun and all that. She's like, you're making wrong decisions. Like, yeah, no kidding. Also, there's probably more than one out here, my dude.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
So you found one, you could probably find another, because I'm sure they probably, you know.
Like, why not just say, hey, take me back where you found that. Maybe there's more.
Yeah.
You know. But no. Nope. It has an agenda.
Of course, right. And they wrestle for it, and of course, true to a lot of movies, they wrestle. She gets shot. You know, again, pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets shot.
Very pregnant. Yep.
The Ezekiel takes a spider and dips. You know, leaves her, and then of course the mythical spider people. You know, come flying through like spider monkeys, actually, through the trees, and then come down. They're all like in this weird, it almost looks like symbiote, like red, like Carnage, almost like symbiote.
Yeah, Ritz with the vines over them.
Yeah.
Like,
it looks very, yeah. I was like, okay.
Odd.
I was like, oh shit, Carnage is coming.
Right.
Damn, he really is having a bad day.
He's a little.
Yeah. But yeah, they end up they come down, they rescue her, and they go and bring her back to some cave thing, and it's almost like a damn Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
They put a spider on her, you know, she to kind of help try and heal her and everything, and it doesn't quite work out, but you know, she still dies. Nope. But it helped it kept her alive long enough for her to give birth to her baby, Cassie or Cassandra. And then she died, you know, then Constance dies, and yeah, here we are.
You know, because she's bleeding out from the bullet wound.
Right.
So nobody thought to, hey, let's put some pressure on that. Then we'll have her bitten.
Yeah.
Nah. Movie's got to happen.
It also, they're in the jungle. I mean, their knowledge of first aid's probably limited.
Maybe. Possibly.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Who am I to say? I don't know. Yeah. And so, and here we go. The movie has now started. Then we fast forward, and yeah, Cassie's a paramedic. She works with Ben Parker, who is her. Have we ever decided how that works? Is it friend or cousin? I feel like it's. Have we figured that part out?
I'm guessing they just made friends from working as paramedics.
Yeah.
I think I'd just say that's a.
And they've just known each other for a long time. So.
Yeah, so they got that bond. So they're like family, but close
enough. Right.
The work. Yeah.
Not. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, they rescue some folk. And then, you know, our characters get introduced. Our three girls, Julia, Anya, and Maddie, each get introduced in small ways. In little I guess you could say little nuggets throughout Cassie. They're like, they have bump-ins with Cassie throughout the city. You know, New York's fairly small, so it's easy to just run into those people coincidentally.
Right.
Anyways, again, the movie's got to happen. But you know, it's like a lot of fate type things that are meant to be. Ben's sister-in-law.
Yes.
Ben's sister-in-law. Yeah, that's right. Because they had the same one. Yeah, Parker. Yeah. It's played by Emma Roberts. Is pregnant. You know, they don't know what this. You know, and Cassie has to go to this, basically this baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's very awkward around everybody. It's almost as if she's
not really like
not sheltered, but she's kind of sheltered.
Like, I don't want to say she's an introvert, but she's not really like about those family events.
Right.
Deal. So yeah.
She doesn't know how to act around them because she is a foster child.
Yeah. 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 There's even an awkward moment at the beginning when they're rescuing that person and she's driving the ambulance and they get the person to the hospital and, you know, they come to tell her like, oh yeah, she's going to be fine. And she's like, who? I'm like, how do you not know who? And then, but the son of the patient wants to give her a picture and she's like trying to fawn it off to Ben.
Yeah.
He's like, just take the picture, you know, you can put it somewhere then throw it away later type. But it just kind of shows her that she's not like a normal person would be like, oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, type deal. But she's just like, yeah, I don't know what to do with that. But yeah, at the baby shower, they have to play a game to decide what name is. And when they kind of get close to saying it, something happens, you know, something to kind of block you hearing. Because for whatever reason, I guess Sony can't use the Peter Parker name.
Which is weird because Sony has the rights to Spider-Man, which is Peter Parker.
But it could be due to that deal with the MCU where they rent it off the character, so for this time being they can't actually use Spider-Man, so I guess that kind of explains why he hasn't appeared in anything since, you know, as far as Venom and Morbius and all that. Maybe that's
they still part. Could see that's a I little mean, petty that's
it is that's weird. I wouldn't have agreed to that, like, man. But outside of that, she starts having these weird visions where she you know, something happens and then she finds out, like, it happens again. And she's like, okay, didn't we do this? And then they get an emergency call, all hands on deck, and they got to go to this factory, explosives, fire, whatnot. And then she has another vision where another colleague, O'Neill, played by Mike Epps, she has a vision of him driving an ambulance, getting hit, dying. So she tries with minimum effort to get him to not drive. Like, you know, she offers it, I'll drive. And he's like, no, I'll do it. I'm fine. I'm good. Just take care of what's happening here. And then as she walks off, he drives away, and then boom. And so I'm like, I wonder if that happened because she held him up. you know, because if he would have left a lot sooner, maybe we got hit in the back of the ambulance. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, that happens, and she ends up going to a therapist or going to a doctor to get scanned to see if there's anything wrong with her because she's having visions. But, physicians, there's nothing that they see abnormal. And it could just be because she does experience a near-death experience when they rescue someone and she gets trapped in the car. And she has her out-of-body experience where she sees a lot of these different weird web whatever.
Yeah.
But Ben has rescued her, brought her back. And so they just kind of sum it up, maybe it's just a PTSD thing. You almost died, so you're just having some weird reaction. And then, of course, she's already kind of interacted in a way with the three girls, almost hitting one who's on a skateboard. Why they're in the middle of the road at that point, I don't know.
Yeah.
Stepdaughter of the patient she brings in, Sydney Sweeney's character. And then one of the girls happens to be a neighbor where she lives. So that's kind of how they know or have met.
Yeah.
And then she's on the train, which we see in a trailer where she's having this, again, visions that kind of remind me of Final Destination, where, mm-hmm. Beginning the kid has a dream and freaks out. People get kicked off and then explosion. But she's seeing these three girls on the train getting killed by someone that she sees. And then the events start to repeat. She sees the guy playing the PSP that says something about New York. And then a guy sits next to her that's asking, what time is it? Which train is this? And how do you, just.
Yeah.
Weird stuff. She's getting ready to leave the train, but then she sees the actual person from her vision. So she's like, okay, I need to get these girls off the train. And then it becomes Adventures of Babysitter.
Yep. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Minus Thor.
Yeah. Minus Thor.
Be a lot cooler. Would have been a lot cooler.
Hey, have Thor come in. I can help these girls. Yeah. Now go away. We're good.
Yeah. Let me fix your tire.
But so she's not really. She helps them, but she's not really wanting to because, again, they're going into that whole, I'm a foster kid. I don't know how to be close to people, although I've got friends. And so she rescues them, but because the girls are freaked out, one of them kind of calls out to the police, hey, we're being kidnapped. So now they have a APB out for kidnapping three teenagers, which kind of complicates things more.
Also, who's calling, who's calling saying that they're being kidnapped, though? That's the thing.
Yeah. They didn't really have time to put that out.
Who's saying, who knows any of those four characters to know that they're not supposed to be together?
Right. Movie has to happen.
Because, again, the parents, the whole point of these girls not wanting to leave is because their parents are not, or either away on the trip or whatever, too busy with their other family, mm-hmm. or just is not, is dead.
She kind of becomes the surrogate mom in a way.
So who's reporting these people missing? Missing, much less being kidnapped.
Yeah, I don't know. Then at some point she leaves them in the woods so she can go research some things for 3 hours.
I haven't figured that out.
Yeah, that didn't make sense. Yeah. You're leaving three teenagers by themselves to have them just sit still in the woods. And But then they end up going to a diner. And then somehow someone there has a paper. And somehow this event has already made the paper.
Even in the edition, obviously.
Yeah, I'm just like, there's a lot to that.
Yeah. There's a lot of moment. It's a lot of Swiss cheese in this movie.
Yeah.
Why whole Swiss cheese? So.
Yeah. And, oh, man. Yeah. I mean, when you really take time to think about this, you can really tear it apart.
and it's not.
But it's still entertaining.
So it's not, and we're not saying all this because we're trying to crap on the movie.
Yeah.
It's just as we talk about it, we're like, oh, yeah, but who, we come up with questions that are like, if you got X, Y, and Z, why wouldn't that doesn't quite make sense. But yeah, we're not trying to crap on it because, you know, it's like, oh, it's MetaWave, it's obviously going to be bad. No, I think you and I could both say we enjoyed it more than we thought.
Yeah, for sure. And but, like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you text me and I ended up having the same reaction. It was, I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I didn't. I was walking out to my car and I was like, no, I didn't hate it. And I had seen the ratings and I didn't read a lot of the reviews until after I watched, just to see what people were saying. And I'm like, I don't think the movie deserves the kind of hate it's getting. Like, I get it. If you watch the movie, you don't like it, you're tired of Sony making these movies that take place in the Spider-Man universe and they don't have Spider-Man, I can get being mad about that, but they don't need to shit on it.
Yeah.
Like they're doing. I think it just kind of becomes like a trend. Like somebody popular does it and like, well, I don't want to go against this because this is the most popular thing and I want to ride that wave. So I don't want to be the different person to say, yeah, it's not good. But if you think about it, it takes place in 2003. If you watched it like in that mindset, like just think about all the movies that came out at that time. Like, yeah, if this was that year and this came out, we wouldn't think so bad of it.
Right. Again, yes. Oh, I think we did forget to mention this is set in 2003.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we don't have, like cell phones, or we have cell phones, but they're like flip phones. They're not like smartphones because it's 2003.
Exactly.
And so we're still having to, you know, still having to watch things in different ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
Relying on print, like the newspaper, for information. Yeah. Television, not the internet, you know. And I mean, like it did feel like early 2000s in the movie. Like I was like, okay, they got that down. And then, like I had mentioned to you about the movies that I thought about, I was thinking of Final Destination, Edge of Tomorrow, and Adventures in Babysitting.
Right.
You know, so they just took little elements of that. Now, what works against it is like what I mentioned, it's a Spider-Man universe movie without Spider-Man. Although,
yeah.
He's kind of at the birthing stage, I guess you can say. And then, you know, the villain is just a generic villain. Not much given about him. Like, he's just evil for the sake of being evil. Like, we've gotten that a lot. So I can see people being mad about that.
I would, because I'm conflicted about the villain. I mean, shoot, if I were having visions where where three women were coming to kill me, I probably would.
Yeah, I'd be freaked out too.
Now, would I go and try and preemptively, you know, go back in time to try and kill a Hitler type of thing? Probably not.
No.
But
I kept thinking, if he had just left it alone, would he been all right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of like the whole O'Neill dying because she tries to stop him from driving the ambulance, but maybe her intervening is what led to it because she slowed him up type deal. I don't know. Sometimes it's best not to interfere with certain things.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting. So apparently the screenplay was a lot darker. The original screenplay. It's more like a Terminator style movie in which Cassie and the rest would be trying to protect a pregnant Mary Parker from a time-traveling Ezekiel Sims who wants to kill her to prevent the birth of Peter Parker. Or he who copyright couldn't be named.
Right. that's interesting.
Dakota Johnson further said that the film she shot was unrecognizable from the version of the script she signed on to make. God, that's got to piss you off.
Yeah.
That would piss me off.
I guess that's why Sony came back and said, hey, we need to reshoots. And it just changed from there.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. Goodness. But yeah, dang. Dakota Johnson left her agency WME in favor of CAA less than a week after the first trailer for the movie dropped. According to Variety, this, quote, raised industry eyebrows, end quote, and generated unfounded rumors that Johnson didn't like the movie, especially after she made fun of it while hosting Saturday Night Live. However, the Hollywood Reporter found that, quote, since CAA was also willing to represent her production company, Tea Time Pictures, along with her indie film, Daddio. End quote. It is likely the seemingly suspicious timing for the move was nothing more than film business shuffling. I mean, she's on Saturday Night Live. I mean,
things get talked about. It's the purpose.
It's the purpose of Saturday Night Live is to make fun of yourself and what you know and things that you do. It's just
yeah. I think they were digging on that.
little thin skinned, I think. Yeah. Shocker. But yeah, grossed $15.3 million domestically in its opening weekend, the sixth lowest of any Marvel movie after Punisher Warzone, $4.3 million. Howard the Duck, $5.1 million. The New Mutants at $7 million. Elektra, $12.8 million. And the OG Punisher. Well, not the OG. Sorry, the first Thomas Jane Punisher or the Thomas Jane Punisher, $14 million. I just realized we haven't had a Punisher that's reprised his role as that character. We've had four different Punishers.
Wow.
We've had obviously Dolph Lundgren from 1990 or 91, Thomas Jane 2004. Ray Stevenson. I always get Stevenson and Winstone confused. I think it's Stevenson from 2008, and then John Bernthal for the Dark Marvel series.
Yeah,
just to name a few. So yeah, but yeah, and but again, we need to go back. So the Spider-Woman also, you know, good trailer magic.
Trailer
pretty
bait.
Much in the. Yep, trailer bait. You see what you see in the trailer of them in their costumes is what you see in the movie. That is it. It is very brief. It's basically told in visions, not really flash, but told in visions. And yeah, there you go. So
yeah, but it's not as it doesn't like okay. As far as the director, like this is her first feature. She probably had a series. So I went to IMDb and was looking at all the series that she was on and directed. And everything that she's directed has been pretty well rated. Like the lowest is maybe like 6.8. Then the highest is between mid sevens, early eight, you know, low eight. So, so a lot of her work is being. So I just feel like it's Sony tampering because of the reshoot.
Right.
But it would be cool to see what was shot prior to that to see maybe it was actually a better movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, did this help or did this hurt?
Overall?
You know, we don't know. We won't know.
We don't know. Yep.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
Yeah. So, but I did not dislike the movie.
Me either.
There were things about it that I was like, yeah, it could be better. But overall, it was still like, I wasn't bored. Like, usually when I go see movies after work, I get sleepy. I'm dozing off. I didn't.
Right.
I didn't, you know, but I could say this, it's not overall that it's not that good.
Yeah.
But still watchable.
It is still watchable. Yep.
Yeah. Like somebody could be somebody's guilty pleasure movie.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely be on FX running a bunch or one of those type of channels that likes to show movies all the time. So speaking of Morbius, I don't know if you saw Morbius dropped on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, okay.
I mean, I guess Sony doesn't mind. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's more. We get it. It's Morbin time on streaming. We get it.
But yeah, it was. But yeah. But still, it's. I think it's a lot of things that are trending. So people are just wanting to say their
right.
Their hate speech.
It's easier to hate something than it is to like something. So.
Yeah. Like, cause, I mean, you can always find something good. Like, if you can't find anything good about a movie, it's just not for you. It's just, you just don't like it. But, like, everything Morbius. I've seen on YouTube has just been, like, they didn't go that hard on Morbius.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and I mean, they went hard on this, the Marvels, both movies of which are fine.
Let's see, female leads. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Captain America, Black Widow.
Poor incel. Poor incels. Yeah. Or incels.
So it's like, So if you want to watch this, go in with your own. Like, if you're interested, watch it with an open mind. If you're not interested, it's fine.
Wait
if you
till
watch
it.
If you did watch it and don't like it, it's cool. Like, yeah, I tried to talk somebody into watching it because I'm like, it's not as bad as they're saying, but it's not good. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm not touching it. I'm like, all right.
Same.
Like,
whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it's speaking of, you know, kind of the segue to that. I finally saw Aquaman 2, Electric Boogaloo, Monsoon Boogaloo. And there you go. Because it dropped on Max this past week.
Yeah. So.
And I didn't hate it. You know, kind of the same vein here.
Yeah.
I watched it on our fancy TV in the living room. It looked absolutely stunning to watch. But the picture was absolutely stunning. It is definitely one, if you are going to watch it on a big TV. And just let it wash over you. Nope. Well, I mean, slightly pun intended. Is it a great film? But not really. Is it entertaining? It is definitely entertaining.
Yeah.
The colors are vibrant. And, like, the CGI is really well done. Like, it's dope. The story is just kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some parts where I'm like, why don't we do... What's going on here? Overall, again, I'll probably watch it again, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's definitely not their best, but it's not... For an Aquaman movie, it's fairly decent. I liked that they used Black Manta again. So if someone were to ask me to summarize this movie, basically summarize a movie badly, this would be me summarizing my movie badly. Black man seeks revenge against the white man for killing his dad. Black man finds a mystical weapon to help him achieve that goal. Said white man that killed his dad finds out who has now settled in with the family, and that son finds out the black man's trying to regain some power and improve his life and get past and move on from his tragedy. White man rescues his brother. Two white men go after the black man to take away his power and bring him down. Hold on, not done yet. Black man fights both of them. Yes, he tries to steal the white baby. Anyways, the two white guys basically try and kill the black guy. And instead of when Aquaman tries to reach out his hand, he'd rather die than seek help from the white man. And end of story. There you go. That's how I summarize a movie badly.
Yeah, but so I know when I talked about it before, something I did. Yeah. I feel like they kind of did Black Manta like they did in the first one. It was like pretty much like a just copy and paste in a way, because it kind of followed similar beats. And
yeah,
he just, it's supposed to be his story, but they kind of sideline him a little bit for something else. And I'm just like, damn, they did it again.
Yep.
So I'm like, man.
And dude, Black Manta is a dope villain. Like, I mean, everything from the outfit. They even got his little ship thing, the little hammerhead thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. Yaya Abdul Mateen II was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he Black Manta'd the hell out of it, as much as they would let him. But,
yeah,
it's great cast.
And then, as far as what's driving him to do what he's doing, I was like, man, this feels like Candyman.
Right?
He's being possessed by something. I'm like, they pulled that part.
It's like, I got this one.
Yes.
I know this role.
Right. I'm
like, I've got this
I've seen one. That before. I've seen that before.
Yep. I feel like I can harness this.
And so, yeah, I was like, I mean, that's cool. But they just didn't do enough with it, a lot with it. And then they again sideline him. He gets booted to the stomach. And it still ends up being a brother versus brother thing in a way.
In a way.
I was just like, God. So it was a missed opportunity, I think, for some things. But as a standalone Aquaman sequel to the original Aquaman, it was okay.
Yeah. It was all right. So, but you want to know my biggest problem with this? Aquaman waits till like the end of the damn movie for him to remember that he controls all the animals of the damn sea.
Well, you know, the movie.
Case in point. All right. Mm-hmm. Twice he chases after Black Manta's ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two times they use this little, I guess, sonar blaster, whatever, that shoots him back. Like, fool, you control all the animals. Just boom, done.
But the movie has to happen.
But you can still make an attempt to be like, oh, well, that didn't work.
True. That's true. Could try like certain animals and it doesn't work. It's like, oh, wait,
right. And I know we need something bigger. We need a bigger boat. or we need a bigger shark to get the bigger boat.
There you go.
But it just, that was the thing that irked my soul more than anything in this movie. I'm like he really is like, it's funny because I've seen a meme where it says that, you know, everybody thinks Aquaman's a bitch. But what people don't realize, he's like the strongest person, at least as far as DC. He's like one of the strongest superheroes because he controls all the animals of the sea, to which the earth is 75% water and ocean, you know. So he controls essentially every living thing, or he can control every living thing underwater, which from most of the earth. Like,
missed opportunity.
So me knowing that, or I'm like, my dude, I mean, I know you're still learning, but this is like your fourth movie.
True. You haven't exhausted your resources yet.
Exactly. Come on, man. Wes. But again, I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It is enjoyable. I will probably watch it again, especially because it's on Max. And I think if I would have gotten off my butt and gone seen it in theater, I would have enjoyed it in the theater too.
Yeah.
All right. I'm done.
Alrighty. So, checked out Bob Marley, One Love. It came out Valentine's Day. The runtime, hour 44 minutes. Directed by Ronaldo Marcus Green. And it stars Kingsley Ben-Adir as Bob Marley, Lashana Lynch as Rita Marley, and James Norton as Chris Blackwell. This is the story of how reggae icon Bob Marley overcame adversity and the journey behind his revolutionary music. So, it's not, I mean, it's a biopic, but it doesn't like give you from childhood and all everything. It just kind of starts around 1976 when he's announcing that he's going to be performing a concert in Jamaica to promote peace. And during preparation of this concert, he ends up getting shot. His manager and his wife, they all three get shot. He only gets, I think, one or two shots that aren't fatal. And then Rita actually takes a shot to her head, but all survive. And they recover in time for the concert. And while he's performing, he starts having these, I guess, visions of, you know, the person that shot him in the audience. And just starting having these thoughts like he couldn't believe that people in Jamaica would try to kill him. And so when he ends the concert, he shows his wounds to the crowd and walks off. But then determines that it's not safe for him or his family, so he suggests Rita take his kids to the States to stay with his mom while he and the band goes to England for their, you know, where they're working on the new album.
Mm-hmm.
And so while there, you know, they're just going through the motions of trying to figure out what this next album will be. They get inspiration from the soundtrack of the movie Exodus, and combining that with their situation, that ends up being what their album's called. And they don't really go into it, but, you know, Bob Marley's got a lot of kids, and they're not all by his wife. Because there's one scene where he's on the phone talking to Rita, and there's a woman in the background. I'm like, who is that? So it ends up being, you know, ends up being someone that was with, had kids by. So I think he's got like 11 that are known. There might be more. But
even franchises.
Right. Right. And so they go to this party where it's like the first time he's done something like this. Like, it's not normal for him to go to these type of events. So he notices a man talking to his wife and he confronts her about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like, how dare you? So when they're talking, he's like, she tells him, like, you know, I'm raising kids that we both have and kids you've had with other women, and I'm doing this. How dare you question me? And he even questions, like, does she have anyone? It's like, well, what do you expect? You know, you're doing your thing and I'm here. I gotta have, you know, I got needs type deal. Right. They don't go too far into that. They just kind of go surface level. So if you want to know more, you can research it.
Right.
But, you know, some other things happening, and he does end up going back to Jamaica, perform a concert. And, you know, he's still nervous about it because people are trying to kill him. But he gets confronted by one person that shot him that's asking for forgiveness. And he tells him, you know, that he doesn't hold vengeance. Like, he's not holding grudges about it. Like, yes, it happened, but I'm not going to hate you for it. But then also, when he was in England, he learns of a rare skin cancer that he has, but he refuses treatment. And so he continues on, which ultimately that's what he dies from. Like, my whole time, I thought like somebody actually did kill him. I didn't know he died because of illness. Yeah. And it was like in his mid 30s, too.
Yeah.
Which
was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It's wild.
Crazy young. But, you know, I mean, I'm not really spoiling things. A lot of people know about Bob Marley. Like, it ends with him performing that concert for peace. And then during the credits, they show actual footage from said concert. But it was good. What I found interesting is when Kingsley Benadire got approached to play Bob Marley, he was, you know, it's like, he felt like that's a big, big deal. And he didn't want to, it'd be a situation where he's taking a role from someone who may be better suited, even though the family's coming to him, because Ziggy Marley, his son, is the one that's producing this.
Yeah.
He come to him. But he's like, make sure that you've exhausted all of your, you know, your search, like search, make sure that I am the person. Make sure you continue to search. And if you haven't found anybody then I'll do it. And so like that's cool. He didn't just immediately say, yeah, I'll do it.
Oh yeah.
Like he took it very serious and wanted to make sure that they were sure that this is what they wanted, instead of just taking it outright and possibly somebody out there that could do it. And so he watched video, listened to old audio, just so we can get into character. So I like that. Performance was good, music was good.
Dope.
Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, it's another one of those that I've been interested in wanting to watch, and I just have not been able to make it out to it. Yeah. But I definitely want to, because it looks amazing. And he looks dope. I mean,
yeah.
God bless. That's, I could not have picked, I don't think I would have picked anybody that could have better suited that.
Yeah, he was perfect.
I think that would be perfect.
It's just, and then just hearing him talk about not being sure that it was for him, and he wanted them to make sure, I'll do it, but please make sure that there's not someone else out there that can do it, because he's British. If there's someone out there that actually is Jamaican that can act,
right?
He's like, do that. He didn't want that pressure of people saying, well, how dare you put a you know, English guy on this
Brit instead of
like another guy taking another role, So that was his whole point. So,
I could have given it to Chris Pratt. I'm just saying, and everything else.
Right. Oh man,
that's a different movie. That's a wildly different movie.
Very much. it was definitely one to check out.
Sweet. All right, man. We've got Love Lies Bleeding, Kung Fu Panda 4, and Imaginary coming out this Friday.
Cool.
York wants to go see Imaginary. He thinks he would like it. I saw another trailer. I'm like, I'll take you, but I don't know how much I'm gonna like. So I don't know when we're gonna get a chance to go, but I'll take him to go see that. Then make him come and talk about it.
There you go.
I'm gonna fill in. I have a fill in.
Here for this movie. I see you talk about it.
Go
ahead.
York's taking over. Yep. All right. And that does it for this week.
Yep.
Everybody, we hope you all have an amazing week. We will talk to you all soon.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed our show and have a moment, please rate and review. It helps us out a lot.
Also, recommend us to someone that enjoys movies or also has kids.
You can find us on Twitter at PA Movie Podcast and on Instagram at parental_advisory_movie_pod. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Parental Advisory Movie Podcast, and join in on the fun.